Bulls fans, welcome to Bulls HQ, a Chicago Bulls podcast on the Blue Wire Sports Podcast Network. We are back again, day two of free agency. And the reason we are back again is because the Bulls continue to swing. The Bulls continue to make moves. And because of that reason, my old friend Morten Jensen continues to come back on the podcast. Mort, how are you, mate?
I am doing well. This is fantastic. This is our third podcast over the past week or so after the draft.
Less than that.
Less than that even. It's been fantastic. And yeah, I kind of, full disclosure though, I kind of invited myself onto this one because I want to talk about DeRozan. I think this is something that we need to discuss because Bulls fans had a lot of different takes. But yeah, you walk us through it, Mark. You just have to chalk up the entire lines for everyone listening.
Well, look, to be fair, you and I hadn't podcast for months, so I wanted to correct that nonetheless. But the fact that it's come together at this point that we've had three podcasts in a row like this, it's it is kind of amusing, but for good reason. And today, I think it is a good reason to be coming back and discussing, you know, what has occurred today, which is obviously the Bulls bringing through via sign and trade DeMar DeRozan. They signed DeRozan to a 3-year, $85 million deal. In doing so, they sent out some pieces to the San Antonio Spurs in exchange for DeMar DeRozan. Out of Chicago goes Thad Young. With him goes Al-Farouq Aminu, as well as a first-round pick and some second-round picks as well. So that's effectively the deal. Bulls get in DeMar DeRozan, 3 years, $85 million. They say goodbye to Thad, who I really enjoyed Thad. I'm very thankful of the season that he had last season, but right. I'm not sure if I was necessarily expecting him to repeat that going forward, particularly at his age, and the fact that maybe he was a little bit more redundant now that you've got in Nikola Vucevic. You're hopefully trying to put through Patrick Williams at power forward. And then Aminu to actually use his deal as something, his expiring deal. Like coming into free agency, I was just assuming that they had to, assuming they were going to go under the cap. We talked about this all on yesterday's show about how we were assuming that the Bulls weren't going to operate above the cap, that were going to go under the cap, and one of the ways for them to create cap space was stretching and waiving Aminu's expiring $10 million deal. They haven't done that at all. There's nothing on the books related to Aminu going forward, and instead they've been able to use his expiring deal to help bring through DeMar DeRozan. So that's effectively the transaction. Mm-hmm. Full disclosure, day one of free agency, I was up for 20 of a 24-hour period, so I was very extremely tired, operating on fumes, buoyant because of that, and that helped me push through, but I needed some sleep, and to that point, Mort, I was actually sleeping when the DeMar news broke, so I'm still catching up on it. I've only been awake for about maybe an hour now, so I'm still formulating my takes, still getting across the other takes that are flying out there and preparing my responses, let's say. But I don't know, what are your initial thoughts about this move?
So before I give you my initial thoughts, I have a take here because you just brought up Thad and you brought up the fact that he was really good and really great here the last season. And I kind of want to touch on a thing here because he was traded while his value was high. And that is what you're supposed to do. Now, full disclosure, I've seen a lot of Bulls fans get up in arms about this trade because they think the Bulls relinquished too much for DeMar DeRozan and all that. But you know what? Trading Thad as part of that, like you're supposed to trade guys when their values are high. That's the entire point of the trade game. That I think Bulls fans are just so not accustomed to seeing that because guard packs, more than often than not, would just let guys expire or they would keep them on the roster for too long and their value would just plummet. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take swings with guys who have positive trade value on the roster. And they did. And so now answer your question about DeRozan. Look, I think objectively it's fair to say that it was an overpay, but I don't care. If I'm the Bulls, I don't care about it being an overpay. It's fine. Because you're getting in a former all-star, someone who's still averaging 21-plus points per game, almost 7 assists, someone who can put so much pressure on the rim as well, which the Bulls have needed because they've only had Sack to do it. Now you have two guys. It just changes the entire dynamic of the starting lineup, of the roster. So, yeah, it's an overpay, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's fine. It sends a signal as well out to the rest of the league and out to the rest of the players around the league that the Chicago Bulls are once again serious about winning. And you know what? That kind of message, that can be worth so much more. And the fact that there's an outgoing first-round draft pick and a couple seconds, that's the price of business. It just is, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, look, 100% agree. Now, what I'll say is, depending on the lens or the perspective that you want to focus on in the transaction, like there's multiple ways to view this, and this is the case right. with anything and everything. So if you want to focus in on the particular leverage that the Bulls may or may not have had in this situation, did they overpay, to your point? Yes, probably. I mean, there wasn't another team with cap space out there that could have offered DeMar DeRozan the contract that the Bulls just gave him. There may have been another team that didn't have cap space, like the Bulls, who potentially could have prepared a sign and trade with him to acquire DeRozan. So maybe there was another team that we're not aware of. He was going to meet with the Clippers. They're not a cap space team, but maybe they just didn't have the pieces to facilitate a deal with the Spurs. Maybe the Spurs didn't even want to sign and trade DeMar to the Clippers and help, you know, boost up a competitor out west with them, sort of thing. So from a pure transactional standpoint, maybe they paid DeMar DeRozan too much. And that was my initial thought on this whole thing. 3 years, $85 million, that's a bit expensive. I think we discussed it yesterday. My preferred amount for DeRozan would have been a 3 year, $65 million deal, with that third year being a partial guarantee or a team option. Right. I'm not really concerned with paying, you know, DeRozan $27, $28 million per year as they're going to be doing on this deal. My main concern, if I have any, is that it's a fully guaranteed 3 year deal. But again, like, so be it. Like, they went out and got their guy. I don't have really any issues with giving up Thad. Like, Thad is good. Thad is valuable. He would have played a role, but the Bulls need wings. Now, it is much easier to find a backup power forward, backup center, which is what Thad would be on this team, than finding a starting wing to slot in alongside Zach LaVine and Patrick Williams. Like, that is so significantly more difficult to do. So in that sense, DeRozan is more valuable. I have no issues moving on from Thad. I've obviously got no issues moving on with Aminu. I've seen some people whining about the draft pick, the fact that they're giving up a 2025 first round pick and a couple seconds. But I guess my counter to that is, like, if you are a team that is competent and is continuously putting pieces on the roster to continue to build around the pieces that you have, that 2025 pick shouldn't matter. It should be a pick in the 20s, something like that. Or, you know, realistically speaking, it's not going to amount to anything, or at least has a very small chance of being anything remotely decent. So long as the Bulls are competent and continue to put together a winning program, as they're sort of showing this offseason they're very content and willing to do and to push towards doing, then that pick doesn't really matter. The second round picks shouldn't matter. And when I start thinking about it from that point of view, coming out a little bit, thinking about it from a holistic standpoint, to your point, the Bulls have clearly sent a message this offseason that they're going for it, that they're acting like a big market team. They are swinging their dick around for a change rather than being the conservative little franchise that operated like a small market team, tried playing through the draft, didn't go out there and make trades for players, didn't make any big swings in free agency because they didn't necessarily put all their cards on the table. The complete opposite is happening now. So this is what we wanted, Bulls fans. We hated the Garpacks era at the end of it because they were so conservative. They didn't do anything of note. And when they were making moves, they were literally just operating or just doing the least amount they possibly could. You know, they would go to the draft with their draft pick. They would do nothing else. They wouldn't acquire future first-round picks. They wouldn't use cap space to take on bad contracts to get more picks in place. They wouldn't make trades to improve the roster. We've seen AK, Mark Eversley, etc. make moves here that we have never seen Garpacks do, whether it's the cap minutia stuff that we discussed yesterday or whether it's going out and being big dick hunting like the Bulls are now, where they've gone out and they've gotten Lonzo, they've gotten DeMar, they've gotten two of the biggest names in free agency. Those two guys wanted to come to Chicago. And to your point, Mort, the Bulls are sending a message that they are serious about building a winning team in Chicago again. And that, you know, unlike the previous 15 to 20 years where we were operating like the Indiana Pacers, that shit isn't going to fly anymore. So that from that point of view, this deal makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And also worth noting, by the way, is we've seen beforehand with the Vooch trade how Arturas and Mark protect their draft picks. So I would actually be pretty shocked if the 2025 pick and whenever it would be conveying, I'm pretty sure there are going to be some contingencies to it, because if the Orlando Magic doesn't get the 2023 pick, they get the 2024 pick maybe. And like there are some floating issues there. But we know for a fact that Arturas Karnišovas and Mark Eversley put some protection on those draft picks sent out to Orlando, that Unknown, for example. And I have to assume that same principle is applied in this trade. I don't look at those two guys as being guys who are willing to just run free with risk. I think they are going to look at those picks and say, what is a realistic value? How can we protect it? What's fair? What would you accept? And plus, they gave up Thad, who's a very good asset in and of itself. You know, the Spurs were probably going to lose DeMar for nothing anyway. So I think overall, this deal is going to make more sense. Like, again, you brought up the contractual thing. Like you said, you would top it out at 65, and then, you know, the last year should be non-guaranteed or a team option and all that. Like, I hear you, and that's, again, that's just the price of business. It's all about the messaging. It's all about the, like you put it very eloquently, the big dig hunting game. I mean, you're right. It is about time that instead of, you know, going all Garpack small pecker, you have to go out there with, you know, a big Johnson and say, we can get things done. Absolutely. And to their credit, those two guys in Acme have done that. I very much look forward to seeing what they have up their sleeve next, because I don't think that we're done here, Mark. I don't think that we're even close to it. Like, Lauri Markkanen is still on the roster. Well, I mean, his cap hold and his disqualifying offer is, so he can get signed and traded. We still don't know whether or not Alex Caruso gets taken into the TPE, so maybe the non-tax MLE is still there. I don't think the Bulls are done. And if you're still like a listener or a fan and you're judging them based on the first 2 days and saying, oh, this is our roster right here, I don't think so. I think there are still going to be a couple more droplets to come. And I have a suspicion that they're going to be good.
Yeah, I completely agree. So I'm hopeful that Lauri Markkanen isn't back. To me, he still doesn't make sense on this roster. You can't start him next to Vucevic, so he's clearly not going to be a starter on this team. So in that sense, that was one of his goals. He views himself as a starter. He wants to go to a team and be a starter. That can't happen in Chicago. You can't start him next to Vucevic, I'm sorry. And now that you've got DeRozan as well, you can't have a team on the floor where you've got Levine, DeRozan, and Vucevic and Markkanen. Like, from a defensive standpoint, that would be just absolutely terrible. Yep. So Lowry can't start. He's going to be coming off the bench. Now, maybe if you can bring him back on a reasonable amount, maybe you sign him to a one-year deal. I don't know. Maybe in that case, you can have him come off the bench for 15, 20 minutes a night. Is he going to be happy with that? Probably not. So in that sense, I'm still looking to move Lowry. I'm still looking to pull off a sign and trade for Lowry Markkanen, to do a fourth sign and trade off the offseason when I didn't even think they were willing, or not willing, but were able to do one. I mean, that would be madness, but I hope they do that. Now, it doesn't seem like the Spurs want Lowry Markkanen. They clearly valued Thad Young more than they did Lowry, and maybe they had to value Thad and Aminu more because they could, I mean, to pay DeMar what they had to pay DeMar, you couldn't necessarily include Lowry because, you know, even if you sign Lowry to a $20 million deal, his base year compensation would have halved that amount. So you're only really sending out $10 million back for Lowry in a deal. So it doesn't seem like the Spurs were interested anyway. So now the attention turns to, all right, where do we move this dude? We discussed some possible things yesterday, whether you're looking to flip him to Sacramento or Charlotte or Minnesota. You still continue down that path, even more so now after acquiring DeMar. So to me, Patrick Williams is the starting power forward next season. You need him next to Vucevic for his defense. You need him for his defense next to Levine and DeRozan. Yep. So head down that path. Continue to look to trade Lowry Markkanen for replacements, I suppose. a replacement for his role, but also a replacement now for Thad Young. And I like I said a little bit earlier, it's much easier to go and find a backup power forward center than it is to find a starting small forward like the Bulls have done here with DeRozan. So completely agree. There's still more moves to be made. There'll be more moves on the periphery, but I'm hopeful that it involves trading Lowry. I'm hoping they don't re-sign him. And then I'm hoping they keep their mid-level exception to maybe add one other piece, maybe not for the entire full mid-level, but I'm assuming they will want to keep some of their mid-level exception around to sign Io and Marko Simonovic. So,
yep.
I mean, they could sign those guys to two-year minimum deals, but if they want their full bird rights, they'll need to sign them using an exception to give them 3 or more years. So they'll need their mid-level exception to do so. So I'm expecting those two guys to slot in there, maybe another, you know, piece for maybe $4 or $5 million as part of the mid-level. And then I'm looking to trade Lowry. Like that continues to be the move for me.
No, totally hear you. One thing that we don't have to worry about, like if you're the Bulls, is playmaking now. And it's not just because of Lonzo. And this got away from me at the very top because I kind of wanted to get into this with the whole DeMar DeRozan acquisition. He's a fine playmaker, Mark. Like, he was at almost 7 assists per game. And one of the biggest things the Bulls needed coming into this offseason was playmaking. They solved that on day one with Lonzo. Now they're just adding to it with DeMar. Now you have plenty of playmaking from different positions. So you can allow yourself now with the Lauri Markkanen upcoming trade, or however you want to gauge it, you can allow yourself to think fit, like need. Like, okay, the Bulls now, if they're sitting there gauging the roster, they're going, well, we don't need playmaking anymore. That's been solved. Do we need scoring? Hell no. We solved that too. What do we need? Do we need a high utility defensive player? Someone who can come in and be one of those 3-and-D guys? Do we need someone with some positional versatility? Like, they have, I don't want to say they're pick of the litter, but they can now go in and be very, very precise in what they're looking for because they basically solved everything else. And also, you brought up Marko Simonovic. I don't think it's entirely unreasonable, Mark, to put up certain expectations to him, because I followed him quite a bit this year. He is good. Like, there is a part of me that thinks he could already, right off the bat, be at least 70 to 80% of what Lowry is right now. Mm-hmm. This guy is good. He's a strong rebounder, even better than Lowry in that regard. He can shoot. He's got a very fluid release. He can get to the free throw line where he also converts. He's a surprisingly adept passer for his size, which, again, Lowry isn't. So I think there is a replacement at hand, and I'm going to be very curious to see what they pay him. I don't think it's much, but if you can get him on just a 3-year contract or something along those lines for a very modest number, that too is going to make that whole salary structure overall more intriguing, because then you can look at that and go, well, if we're getting somewhat similar Lowry production out of Simonovic, you know what? Then it makes it a little better to pay DeMar DeRozan the deal that they paid him. So I think the Bulls right now are in the driver's seat, and I struggle to understand the backlash from Bulls fandom, admittedly.
Yeah, look, maybe I'm amplifying a select few people, their voices, and maybe the overwhelming majority, you know, feel quite strongly about it. I don't know. Like I said, I'm still getting across the takes. Let's say I have seen some that have bothered me, have annoyed me, but my ultimate perspective is this: like October 2020. The Bulls rolled out a starting lineup that featured Coby White, Zach LaVine, Patrick Williams, Lowri Markkanen, and Wendell Carter. Less than a year later, the Bulls have a lineup that includes Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Patrick Williams, and Nikola Vucevic. Now, that is the perspective you need to take and need to keep. Like, the Bulls have gone from a situation where they're effectively a team that was starting all the guard packs draft picks, let's say, the guard packs draft picks that weren't amounting to anything.
Right.
And now I've gone to a situation where, as we discussed yesterday, they have scope to be a win-now team, but also to position themselves to be a good team for the future as well when they, you know, continue to build around Zach LaVine, Lonzo Ball, Patrick Williams, as they phase out of the Vucevic and DeRozan era now, let's say.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, like, that is the perspective that needs to be maintained. And to that point, some of the pushback that I've seen and I've received when I noted that was, well, you know, the Brooklyn Nets exist, the Los Angeles Lakers exist, you know, you've got the Bucks in the East, you know, that Miami Heat did some things yesterday, you know, how good is realistically is this team? Like, you know, right. Maybe they're a fourth, fifth, sixth seed. Who cares? Like, that has been some of the narrative pushback that I've received. Now, again, maybe it's from a select few people. Maybe I'm amplifying those people's voices now that it's fresh in my mind. And again, I'm still processing it all. But again, just shut the fuck up, you know? Put simply, just shut up. Like, just quit your whining. I just hate that. I hate that logic because it's such a loser, small-minded mentality. Like, there's always going to be a better team in front of you. There's always going to be a dynasty team in front of you. I mean, the Toronto Raptors do not have an NBA championship right now. If the, you know, the Raptors apply that small-minded mentality that some have where, oh, look, the Warriors are here. You can't win a championship because the Warriors are here. Or LeBron is here. You can't win because LeBron's in the East or LeBron's in the West or whatever it might be. I mean, we just saw the Raptors a couple years ago, it's not even that far removed, win a championship because they refused to, you know, give up. They refused to tank, let's say. Instead of trading for Kawhi, some people were saying, blow it up. Had they done that, they wouldn't have an NBA championship. Now, yes, things played a part where they got a little bit lucky. Obviously, the Durant injury happened. The Kawhi jump shot against the Sixers was very fortunate. But you need luck to win irrespective of whoever's in front of you. We just saw that this season. Have people already forgotten about these finals? I mean, the Suns could have continued to tank their way. Maybe instead of trading for Chris Paul, other people would have suggested, you know, don't go after Chris Paul, continue to add younger pieces. Well, had that happened, they would have never got to the finals. They wouldn't have had a chance of winning their first NBA championship. Similarly for the Bucks, like, yes, they had some luck in the fact that the Nets got injured, but again, the Bucks continued to add pieces and they won a freaking championship because of it. So I'm not sitting here and saying that the Bulls are going to win a championship after signing Lonzo Ball and DeMar DeRozan, but what I am saying is stop being a chicken shit and just thinking because there are better teams in front of you that you should, you know, perpetually be tanking for a superstar until those teams disappear or go away, because that's just horseshit. Like, there will always be a team in front of you that is better from a dynastic point of view, or whether just for like that in-year season, they're going to be better. There's always going to be a team that comes up out of nowhere. Like, did anyone think the Brooklyn Nets were going to be this two seasons ago? Before they, you know, rolled out Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and then obviously James Harden. Like, no one was expecting them to form this formidable team that everyone just assumed is going to win a title. You know, you just can't predict these things. So my point is, control what you control, build the best team you possibly can, and just see where it takes you. Maybe it doesn't win a championship. Who gives a shit? Let's just see a good Bulls basketball team. I'm very thankful that we have an aggressive front office that is out there doing things, making moves, and trying to put this Bulls brand back towards the top of the NBA where it absolutely deserves to be. So, I'm just not about this negative nonsense at the moment. So, you know, if there are people who are, let's say, being a little bit negative about it, well, yeah, I just don't want to hear it.
I think also, in fairness, it's because of the past, you know, what, 6 years, no, oh, more than six. I mean, just going through the latter half of the Garpax era, I mean, the negativity was so vast. You and I talked about it yesterday, like why we stopped doing Dennis Podman, for example, right? Everything was just always so negative. So, like, you almost develop this tendency to attack things negatively right off the bat. But I just could not find myself at all thinking that way with the DeRozan sign and trade at all. I mean, sure, I could see the overpay, but I mean, at the end of the day, this team is better, like drastically so. This and maybe even more importantly, this team is going to be fun. This team is going to be super fun to watch. I mean, how many times have you and I and other guys out there, people, like, just shut off a Bulls game or decided, nah, not tonight. I'm going to watch something else. I'm not going to watch it. That's not going to be me next time. I'm going to watch most Bulls games. They have jumped right to the top of my League Pass rankings.
Yeah, and look, this may not work. I mean, from a fit point of view, I can, you know, I'm thinking about it now and I can realize a situation where it does work. Like, You know, obviously DeMar's not going to shoot threes. He wants too much crossover between DeMar and LaVine. Maybe, you know, what does this mean for Lonzo? Is he playing more off ball now because you've got, you know, DeMar and LaVine, you know, who are wanting to dominate the ball? To that point, does Vucevic get enough touches on the low block? Look, there's angles you can take where this, maybe this doesn't work on the court, but then, you know, frankly, there are angles you can take where it does work on the court. You touched on it before. The fact that DeMar averaged 7 assists last season. Clearly, the Bulls need a playmaking, getting Lonzo, getting DeMar, who can do some stuff from a playmaking perspective outside of that Vucevic and LaVine pick and roll. Like, that will still be your base offensive set, but now when you can kick to the weak side and DeMar's there, who can take advantage of that secondary action, similarly with Lonzo, who can maybe spot up off that action, like, again, it can work. So my point is, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but I guess what I'm trying to convey here is I'm confident, irrespective of what happens, whether it fails or whether it's a success, based on the moves that I've seen over the last 24 to 48 hours, I'm confident that this management group will be able to pivot and be able to pivot quickly into something that maybe we didn't see or maybe we didn't forecast, or, you know, are able to reposition themselves as needed. Like I talked about it before. In 2 to 3 seasons' time, you can pivot away from Vucevic and DeMar. Like, if that, for whatever reason, doesn't work, or maybe if it does, and we floated the Jokic thing yesterday, like, if you go, again, maybe thinking even bigger, like, you move on from those guys at that point. Or, you know, maybe it's just a complete tire fire. You know, it was a worthy experiment. They went all in. Maybe it doesn't work. And, you know, in a season or two time, you move on from Vucevic or whatever it might be. Like, I guess what I'm saying is I don't care. I'm just happy that they're gone for it. They've made moves to go for it. And because of what I've seen over the last couple of days, I'm confident that they'll be able to pivot in the worst case scenario. If it doesn't work, that they'll be able to pivot and, you know, navigate and find another way to go about it. And they still have a path to go another way about it because, you know, Lonzo's 23, 24, Zach LaVine's in his prime, Patrick Williams is only 20. You know, so it's not all lost, I guess, is my point. It's not like the Bulls have gone in and just traded and put together a team that, you know, features a bunch of 33 to 37-year-olds, for example.
Right.
That's not the case here. Like, there's scope to be a good team now. I think there's a real chance this Bulls team now can win 50-odd games and can have home court advantage in the playoffs. Like, I didn't even enter this offseason thinking that was a reality. I was like, okay, maybe you can build yourself into a decent team that can be, you know, put together a 45-ish win team, maybe sneak into a 6th seed, maybe just get out of the play-in. But if not, then you're firmly in the play-in with, you know, the Celtics, the Hawks, the Knicks, you know, the Hornets, those sorts of teams. But now I'm kind of feeling good enough where I think there is a realistic scenario where, you know, beyond the Nets, the Bucks, and maybe the Heat, like, I think the Bulls can get that 4th seed. I'm not, what have the Sixers done in free agency? Jack shit. Who knows what they're going to get for Ben Simmons? I think there's scope here for the Bulls to be the 4th best team in the East. The Knicks didn't do anything nice with their cap space. The Celtics remodeled their team. I'm not convinced about them. The Hawks, right. Yeah, maybe they're a threat for that 4th seed as well. But I'm feeling much better about where this Bulls team is positioned now than I was, say, 48 hours ago.
Absolutely agree. And furthermore, just when it comes to DeRozan and when we talk about the on-court fit as well, I think there's another argument to be made in terms of how it should actually work. Has DeRozan ever played for a team in a lineup that would have as much spacing around him as the projected starting lineup of the Chicago Bulls right now? Because I don't think so. Like, he has a center who's a high-level three-point shooter in Nikola Vucevic. We know that Patrick Williams can hit the three-ball, and then we know he's probably also going to get better at it, and probably even a little bit more volume by this season as well. We sure as shit know that Zach can hit those threes. We know that Lonzo can come in and hit the triples, at least when spotting up, which he'll get plenty of chances to do so. I mean, has DeMar DeRozan ever played on a team with this much spacing before?
I'm just thinking about it now. Maybe not. Maybe not. I guess adding to your point, I don't know if he's ever played on a bigger team. Think about this Bulls starting lineup. You know, Lonzo's 6'5", 6'6", Zach LaVine, 6'5". DeMar himself is a big unit, 6'6", 6'7". Patrick Williams, 6'9". Obviously, Vucevic is a huge unit. This is a big Bulls team now. And not necessarily big in the way they were in years past, where that front court was just loaded with, you know, 6'10" guys plus, where we had almost, you know, 4 or 5 guys in the front court who demanded minutes that obviously weren't all going to get minutes, and there was just such a front court logjam. You had no wings at all. Like, this is a big team still, but it's gone in a completely different situation or direction, where they've prioritized big, versatile athletes on the wing. Like, Caruso is that. Lonzo is that. Obviously, DeMar is that. He's 31 now, but the dude can still move. He can still get up there. He's still a big unit. So my point is, like, they've added length, they've added versatility, and suddenly they look like a more, you know, a more functional modern-day NBA team, even if DeRozan himself isn't much of a three-point shooter. To your point, there's other guys around him that can offset that. Vucevic is obviously a fantastic three-point shooter for a big. We're hoping Patrick Williams can get that three-point volume up to maybe 5 or 6 a game, and he's probably going to need to, because a lot of his offense will still be fueled from off-ball opportunities. Similarly with Lonzo, just you're going to be firing up 7 or 8 threes a game, mate. Just keep shooting that thing. And then you've got LaVine, who's maybe one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA. So to your point, yes, I think this may be one of the best spacing team DeMar has been part of. And, you know, whether it's DeMar at power forward, whether it's Patrick Williams at power forward, whatever it is, he still will have avenues to get to the rim and to play his game. Maybe there'll be a little bit of an adjustment period, because he probably likes to share the same area of the floor as Zach and Vooch do, but, you know, they'll work it out. And, you know, and now it's on Billy Donovan to work it out as well. Like, it's on him to massage the rotation to the point where maybe you break up LaVine and DeRozan's minutes, you split their minutes, and maybe that makes it more palatable, let's say, where there's less crossover between those two, and at all times on the floor, you've got one of them on the court, and, like, that's huge. The Bulls sucked when Zach LaVine would go to the bench from an offensive creation standpoint. Like, they had no one that could get to the basket. And that's not the case anymore. Like, you've got LaVine in that first unit, who will still be the lead option with Vucevic. That pick and roll is still going to be the main source of offense, and everything else will flow off that. But then in the second unit, if you can sort of transition the minutes to have that become more about DeRozan, maybe Kobe's still around or whatever it might be, we'll see obviously how it shakes out. But now at all times, the Bulls are going to have someone who can, you know, put on serious rim pressure. And from that standpoint, LaVine's got some pieces around him now that it's going to take the load off him. And I'm actually intrigued to see how much more efficient Zach could be now, the fact that teams won't be able to load up on him in like the way they have in years past. So that's another interesting element to it as well.
It really is. And look, you talked about size. I just went through it. No one in the current projected rotation, never mind the starting lineup, overall rotation, is under the height of 6'4". That's tremendous. That is...
I mean, yeah, Kobe's what, 6'4", 6'5"? Io's 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah.
Yeah, even I didn't mention Io before. Like, he's another big athletic guard that the Bulls have added. They've clearly prioritized big wings, big length in the backcourt, and it's a welcome change, because that hasn't necessarily been the case before. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens. Maybe it fails. Maybe it falls over. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's good. But to all the nerds out there that are banging on about, like, you know, the cap implications, or did the Bulls, you know, pay a little bit too much? Did they do this? Did they do that? Just measuring the transaction just on what you see on paper. Yeah, I don't. Just shut up, I guess, is my parting thoughts.
Right. Don't it's ruin not your
this
money.
Moment for us. Don't ruin this moment for us. This is what we've been wanting for freaking years. We've been wanting it to be represented by an aggressive management team that goes all out and tries to build the best possible team it can around its player, or its best player, Zach LaVine. I think the Bulls have done that. And to your point earlier, more like, things don't stop here. Like, things don't stop in this offseason. Obviously, we were still looking at maybe trading Lowry or doing some stuff there, but who's to say you can't move DeRozan or Vucevic down the line in 12 months' time if for whatever reason it doesn't work? Like, there's still moves to be made. You're not locked into this team for the next 5 or 6 years. Like, right. I don't know. There has to be a mentality shift. And like I said, maybe I'm just amplifying the voices of a couple people who have irritated me this morning and are raining on this parade. But I'm pretty happy with it. Is it an A+ signing? No. Is it a bad signing? Of course not. Does it make a lot of sense? Does it make the Bulls a lot more fun than what they would have been previously? Does it make the Bulls so much more better than what they would have been previously? 100% yes.
Yeah. Also, Does this help Sack getting convinced that the Bulls are serious? Abso-frickin-lutely.
Agreed. So clearly they're not re-signing Zach in this offseason. They've operated above the cap. For them to give Zach a max extension, they needed to create at least $14 million in cap space to give him that max extension this offseason. That's clearly not happening. They're not under the cap. They're over the cap. So clearly, obviously management, AK, Mark Eversley, have had a conversation with Zach. They've basically told him, and he's obviously signed off at it, that we're going to give you a team that can finally help you win, help you push towards the playoffs, get rid of the negative stigma that still, I guess, is somewhat attached to Zach LaVine's name. And we're going to reward you thereafter with a max deal, a full 5-year max thereafter. So I'm assuming that's the plan. I'm assuming they're the conversations that have been had, and yeah, I think it makes complete sense.
I do too. And also, like, just in terms of future assets, because I just wanted to touch on this as well, like, the Bulls still have their 2022 draft pick. I mean, that's not going anywhere because the pick conveyed to Orlando this year. So next year, if it's tits up everything, they'll have a pick. Like, it's not like they mortgaged everything. Like, yeah, they send out a ton. They've sent out 3 first-round draft picks. Objectively, that is a lot, but I don't think it is too much, all things considered, given that the swing that they're taking, especially because like they still have 2022 and then they will have 2024. I just don't think they're in all that bad of a position, really.
Yeah, 100%. And like, this just makes the Vucevic trade look better. Well, hopefully it does, because part of the issue with the Vucevic trade, or the issue some had with it, was the fact that you, again, giving up future first round picks rather. So in that sense, like, a way to make the deal look better and a way to make sure that those picks are shit that you're sending to the Magic is obviously to make the Bulls as good as possible. Now in 2023, when that pick goes out, hopefully the Bulls are good enough where, they're winning 45 to 55 games. They're up into that 4 or 5 seed in the East. Maybe that pick projects to be like the 21st, 22nd pick in the NBA. Like, if that's what you've given up along with the 8th pick of Wendell Carter to get Vucevic, then it's fine. And then again, continuing that thought experiment with DeMar DeRozan here, it's a 2025 pick, obviously a couple more years out just due to the step-in rule. But if you just continue to put pieces around the team and ensure that the team is good, which should be just the primary objective anyway, mm-hmm. as a byproduct of that, the future picks that you have outgoing shouldn't really matter that much. So again, I don't know. And I get when you see the move initially why there may be some skepticism. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, 385, that's a bit expensive. But then when you start, taking it backwards, a backseat to it, start thinking about it holistically, what this means for the franchise going forward, what this means for Zach LaVine, that's when I completely buy in. So I'm feeling good about it. Hopefully the majority of the fan base is. There'll always be a select few who don't, but screw them.
So in terms of rounding out the roster, Mark, that's something I also wanted to talk to you. That's why I invited myself onto this show today, because it's so interesting to me that the Bulls will still have at least a portion of the non-tax MLE to go with an external signing. Obviously, some of it will be earmarked for Io and for Marco. But I'm thinking a guy like Danny Green for the remainder of the non-tax MLE would be just such a nice fit. Obviously, you have to wonder, are there enough minutes to go around at the swing spot? If not, you could pivot into a big man. But that's another guy who can come in, play defense, hit threes, is reliable for the playoffs. I would like that very much. And maybe you can go that route, and then you can use Markkanen's situation to go for an additional big, whoever that might be.
Yeah, I believe Paul Millsap is still a free agent, if I'm not mistaken. He would be nice. Maybe there's lesser options out there. Yeah. But I take your point on Danny Green. Like I mentioned before, like the Sixers have done jack shit, and that includes not re-signing their own guy, which is Danny Green, which, if they lose him, they trade Simmons, like where is their perimeter defense gone? Like, I don't know. I'm not fearful of the Sixers as well. But yeah, he's an interesting name. There's still things the Bulls can do, to your point, and I'm expecting them to do so. They're going to be moves in the periphery now. Like, they've made their big moves, Caruso, DeRozan, and Ball. They're the big pieces. We'll see what happens thereafter. But, yeah, to your point, there's still things to be done. I'm sure Bulls HQ will be coming back later in the week to discuss those moves. And maybe at that point, Mort, we can reconvene for a fourth time in 1 week.
That'd be great. I'm starting work back up again on Thursday. But you know what? If we can figure out a time that makes sense for both of us, I'm definitely down. Because I have a feeling when everything is said and done with the Bulls offseason, I think Bulls fans are going to have a drastically different mindset towards the Bulls. I think they're going to have way more optimism as long as they, like you just said, take the step back and just realize the situation. I mean, for crying out loud, a year ago, the Bulls had no All-Stars. Now they have three and Lonzo Ball.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. 100%. And that's the mentality everyone needs to have. Like I said, whether it works or not, this is the intent behind the moves is almost as important as the moves themselves. So to me, like, that matters. You know, if you're a championship or bust person, if you're the type of person that only wants to see your team signing free superstars or tanking for superstars, you know, if that's the mentality that you have, then, you know, maybe you're perpetually mad and always mad at the Bulls product. But for me, who just wants to see good, respectable basketball, who wants to actually enjoy watching Bulls basketball, I don't know about you Bulls fans, but the last 4 years have been absolute dog shit basketball. You know, not only was it bad basketball, but we had to have Jimmy Butler basically rubbing our face in it. Like, he moves away from Chicago, has ultimate success. The team gave up on him. What we're seeing now is maybe something that could have been put around Jimmy Butler at the time. So we have that lasting image or that lasting thought, then compounded by 4 years of terrible basketball. I'm just willing to escape that nonsense and just move to an era where, yeah, maybe it doesn't result in a ring, but I don't care. I just want to see good, fun, competent Bulls basketball. I want the Bulls to be respected around the league again. And you know what? When that happens, guess what happens? That's when your free agents start coming through. The Brooklyn Nets didn't get shit. They weren't getting Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving because they were tanking or, you know, because they were making, you know, little moves here on the margin or trading for shitty pieces here and there or, you know, perpetually just being a shitty team and a bad organization. They got those guys through because they got their shit together. The Bulls are doing that now. They're doing it in a different way, but I'm confident that the Bulls are adding a little bit more respect to their name again, and the brand of the Chicago Bulls is it has more worth now. So for me as a fan, for you listening, I hope you feel the same way. But yeah, like I said, Mort, I've talked myself into it, I guess is my point. And I'm feeling good about it. But mate, I'll let you go because, again, it is late your time. You said you're starting up work again later this week. You definitely need your sleep before you start work again. So I'll let you go. We'll call it here. Bulls HQ will be back probably later in the week to wrap up the further free agent moves. But again, Mort, thanks for coming on, mate. Tell the people where they can follow you online.
Well, and thank you for indulging in my request to come on the pod. Thank you,
because otherwise it would have just been me just, you know, blabbering by myself. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. You can find me on Twitter at MSJNBA. You can find my writing at Forbes. I also have the podcast, the NBA podcast, with my co-host and partner in crime, Brian Toporek. And we have a YouTube channel called The NBA Show that you'll find us on. We do almost daily videos.
Too easy. Go follow Mort at all those spots. Follow me on Twitter too at MK Hoops. Follow the podcast on Twitter too at Bulls HQ Pod. If you want to be part of the Bulls HQ Discord, the link to the Discord is in the description of this podcast episode. Also, if you want to send me an email, whether it's a question, whether it's ideas for the show, just have a general conversation, whatever it may be, send me an email, bullshq@gmail.com. But that just about does it for this episode of the show. The Bulls are doing stuff, Bulls fans. Lonzo and Caruso yesterday, DeMar today. We'll see what tomorrow holds. But Mort, again, thank you for coming on, mate. Bulls fans will be back very soon. Again, hopefully talking about some Larry Markkinen trades, some moves on the periphery here. But as those moves break, Bulls HQ will be back later in the week. So keep on the lookout in all the usual spots. But until then, this has been Bulls HQ. Speak soon, Bulls fans.